Hello and welcome back to the verse by verse Bible teaching of the Wash and Word. This is a ministry of our business. The Wash and Word is a hand car washing business located in Churchill on Highway 11W. We're in the Palace Shopping Center, and there you can come and get your car washed. And there you can also listen to these messages. If you missed this one or you want to hear more, you can come by the Wash and Word, and while we're washing your car, you can listen to these messages on 107.1 FM. They transmit around the parking lot during open business hours. You can also go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can listen to and download these messages for free. You can also find out all the information you'd like about the business and about this ministry. So let's get back to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We're currently in the Gospel of John, chapter 12. And there are four things we were looking at in the Gospel, or rather in the chapter 12. And those four things were an anointing, an objection, a rebuking, and a gathering. Now, we looked in the beginning, we looked at Mary anointing Jesus' feet, and then we saw the objecting, which was Judas objecting to the amount of money that she wasted. Of course, Judas completely being misled and listening to the voices of a demonic realm, not of a spiritual Holy Spirit realm. And now, after the objection, we're going to see a rebuking, and we're going to see this as we continue our reading in chapter 12. And before we get into that, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that I spent a lot of time on the first two points, the anointing and the objecting. But I did that because it's important to set the stage as to what is taking place here in this section of Scripture. And so, looking at verse 7 and 8, we see the rebuking. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile..." Well, actually, let's stop right there. And so, Judas does this rebuking of Mary, and Jesus, in a very sharp tone, "Leave her alone," he replied. "It was intended that she would be to do this." And I can't help but think that the tone was as sharp as I'm alluding to. You know, I don't see Jesus sitting there saying something like, "Oh, come on, Judas, leave her alone. Don't let her be. This is what she wanted to do." No, if he was writing this out, it would be in all caps. He yelled it. He was stern. He said, "Leave her alone. This is meant to happen." In fact, it probably had to happen on some sort of a spiritual level we don't understand. But listen, our gentle Jesus, our wonderful, gentle Savior, he's going to try and guide you. Our gentle Jesus will lead you by hand down paths of righteousness. He will put up with so much of our impatience. Our gentle Jesus will tolerate our self-will, will put up with our rebellion, and our gentle Jesus will lead us to paths of peace that could make Mother Mary and Gandhi look like gangbang members. But our gentle Jesus will also drop the hammer when he needs to. "Leave her alone," he says. Now, I got three quick applications I want to give to you about this. The first one is this: God will allow bad choices of our own free will. And shame on you if your spouse just popped into your mind when I said that. God will allow bad choices of your own free will. You see, that's what makes it free will. You're allowed to make those choices. And if you make a bad one, God is going to allow that to happen. But even in bad choices, bad decisions, if we hold on to the Lord, the Bible says in Romans 8:28 that he works all things out for the good. So even in a bad decision, God could work that out for the good if we love him and we continue to do his will. The second, not only will God allow bad choices of your own free will, God will also allow the consequences of those choices. But again, always for the purpose of his glory and your betterment. However, even though God will allow bad choices of your own free will, and God will allow the consequences of those choices, God will not allow your bad choices to interfere with His perfect will. Did you catch all that? God will let you make your own choices, even if they're bad. God will allow the consequences of those choices, but He will not let your bad choice interfere with His perfect will. And how do you know if your free will and bad choices have crossed that line? Well, from this one answer we get from Jesus, from the gentle Jesus that we rely upon to be patient with us, to the leave her alone, stern Jesus, from the come on, man, you know that's not right, to the leave her alone, come on, it's not good for you, to leave her alone, you know it's the right thing to do, to leave her alone. So when you know that you've crossed the line, when the gentle prodding of the Holy Spirit becomes a harsh correction of God, that's when you know you've drawn the line. The gentle prodding towards righteousness is now a prodding in the side by a goad. And you say, well, how am I going to know if I've crossed that line? I don't hear Jesus speaking to me audibly. I don't hear the audible voice of God. But listen, if you're in tune to the Spirit, you know the difference between those soft, gentle reminders or those soft, gentle guidings. You know the difference between that and what are you doing with your life? Why are you still doing that? Stop it. That's enough. You know the difference between the gentle prodding of the Holy Spirit and you've seen enough of my grace that this behavior is ludicrous. You see, the people then, they knew the difference between the voice of the Lord when He taught in the synagogues and He taught out in the wilderness and in the plains. They knew the difference between that Jesus and the Jesus that says, leave her alone. Or the Jesus that says, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. Or the Jesus who kicks over tables and says, my house will be a house of prayer. Don't tell me you don't know the difference in the reaction and response of what our Lord thinks about what you're doing. Stop, rest, think about it, get in tune with the Spirit, and you'll know when your free will and your bad choices have crossed the line and are starting to interfere with God's perfect will, because God will never let that happen. And that's when the rebuke comes. That's when the chastising comes. And if you're being rebuked or you're being chastised or God is just coming against you, it's because something is out of line in your life. And listen, the indignation of Jesus, the rebuke of our Lord, and the anger over the repeated sins in your life and the hurting of others, it's not going to be subtle. Just like in the Bible times, when Jesus had enough of something, He made it known that this was no longer acceptable. This was no longer okay just to make a bad choice of your own free will. It's no longer okay just to have personal consequences of those choices. Now your behavior is beginning to affect other people, innocent people, God's sovereign and divine will. And when that happens, the chastising comes. And I guarantee you, friends, it will not be subtle. God is not subtle in His chastising. He is subtle in His gentle rebukes. You ever seen in a movie a werewolf, you know, go from a person change to a werewolf? You know, it starts off with just a little bit of pain, and then it's on the ground, and then things start to alter, and the body becomes, you know, and then eventually the camera will pan up, and there's this fully transformed wolf growling and howling in front of the camera. And that's kind of how the chastising of God goes. It starts off with a little bit of pain, and then it gets a little more uncomfortable, and then things begin to get uncomfortable. And then if you don't change, if you just continue to go down that path, there will be a roar of the indignation of Christ, and there'll be a very non-subtle rebuke of God, almost as if to say, leave her alone. This is the end. And the latter part of that is critical, because if we don't make the change at the height of Jesus's rebuking, the consequences after that could sometimes be eternal. Because the long-suffering and patience of God and the myriad of attempts to steer you rightly in all aspects of your walk, that gentleness and that leading will eventually gonna give way to stern rebuke, and that could alter the entire direction of your life. So, to answer the question, how do you know if your free will and bad choices have crossed that line? Well, it'll become painfully obvious. So get into the habit of saying, "Speak, Lord," and your life will become like a romance. 1 Samuel 3:9 talks about how he finally understood that the voice of the Lord was calling to him. And so every time circumstances press in on you, say, "Speak, Lord." Make time to listen. Because listen, chastising is more than a means of discipline. It is meant to bring you to the point of saying, "Speak, Lord." And if it gets to the point in your life where God becomes angry with you and is chastising with you, listen, you've gone through a lot to get to that point. Exodus 34, 6 through 7 says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. You would have to go through all of that before he gets to, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. And so finally, we looked at the anointing, the objecting, the rebuking, and let's look at the gathering, verses 9 through 11. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And so the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. So we see there's a gathering. In other words, hurry, hurry, step right up and see the amazing Lazarus. The freak show, in every sense of the word, would how the advertisement might go. And people will gather to see the extraordinary and the unique, and to see something new, and especially to see the manifestations of supernatural power. We see it all the time where images of Christ pop up and people crowd to see them. And the reason they do that, the reason people flock to these manifestations, whether they be real or false, is that the world is starving for supernatural power. Let's face it, the world is devoid all of Christ and of God and of truth. And by doing so, they're starving themselves of the void that God put in their hearts for a supernatural filling. So there is a supernatural hunger taking place in the world right now. And the devil will gladly oblige that supernatural hunger by giving these false apparitions. The devil is running around frantic because he knows his time is short. But the gospel of grace, the gospel of Christ, prods on, unstoppable, and will win in the end. And so this is where you and I come in. If we will just be given over to do greater than what Jesus did, as he himself said we will do, then let's do it. And that greater is being able to tell Jesus, or tell others about Jesus. Christianity, the gospel of saving grace, has become the world's best-kept secret. And we spread the gospel these days like we're spreading some kind of disease. But when the word gets out, people will flock and they will gather. And unfortunately, they are not all gathering for peace. Some are gathering for destruction. Some are gathering to figure out a way to spread the gospel, and others are figuring out a way to stop it. So the devil is not interested in peace or even solving his problems with fairness. His solution is to kill them all. So here we see the solution was kill Jesus, kill Lazarus, kill the disciples, kill the followers, kill the way, kill all the two-year-old babies, kill them all. And that's what the devil is trying to do. It's called mob mentality, where mob mentality is one of the scariest things in the entire world. When the consensus of the public gives way to irrational thinking, all hell will literally break loose. I want to leave you with this. A time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. That's 2 Timothy 4:3. And my friends, we have arrived at that point. And that is why these verse-by-verse Bible teachings are so important, that the Word of God get out there in all of its fullness. You have a blessed day. Go to washandword.com for more information. Have a blessed day.